Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
What do we make of the U.S. Supreme Court refusing to take a case involving custody of parents regarding their teenage son? We're going to talk about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, the media always wants to make a big deal out of a case where the Supreme Court refuses to take the matter up and decide it. And so that's certainly what the Supreme Court did recently, and the media does its typical exaggeration where they say that the Supreme Court rejects appeal from parents who lost custody of their teenage child. Well, in fact, they did not accept the case, but the Supreme Court accepts very few cases for review. And this particular case is quite egregious. Let's first go into the facts of the case and then talk about perhaps why the Supreme Court decided not to take the case.
Yeah, I mean, these parents were Christian or are Christians and lost custody of their son. But the media has made it into a LGBT issue. But apparently the child was removed from the home, who is now an adult, and had an eating disorder?
Well, the child was 16, and the child was a boy, and the child decided that they wanted to be a girl and was gender confused, but
and
also had
yeah.
an eating disorder as part of the issues that the child was dealing with.
Obviously, there were some deep problems going on regarding that confusion as well as the eating disorder. So
this case began in 2021, and that's when the Indiana Department of Children and Families was contacted. They received two complaints with regards to this family respecting their child. And they said that there were developing conflicts between the parents and their children's concerning gender identity. And so the Child Protective Services came in and they removed the child from the home because the parents, for religious reasons, they refused to affirm the child's confused gender identity.
But the thing is, the Indiana Department of Child Services reported that as abuse because they would not accept
right.
that confusion that child was dealing with.
Yeah, they reported it as abuse, so they removed the child. They then said that they did not want to have the parents continue to have contact with the child, but then they dropped the abuse allegations because the parents would not have contact with the child. They said that if the parents did have contact with the child, it would cause harm to the child. The issue in part was that the child had an eating disorder. Now, one of the things that we find in these whole gender confusion cases is that there is a huge panoply of psychological issues mm-hmm. that children deal with. It could be an eating disorder, body, dysphoria, where they are not happy with how their body looks for whatever reason.
And granted, they're teens, so they go through hormonal changes anyway, so there's confusion going on.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of things that are hormonal going on in children. They could have anxiety, they could be anorexic, bulimic, they could have all kinds of other eating disorders, they could have a number of them, about 20% or so, mm-hmm. 1 in 5, based on a study, are somewhere on the autism
right.
spectrum.
And then they get on social media, and that's pushed at them. They get in public schools, that's pushed at them. Hence why we represent Christian counselors who can help these children get to the root cause of their confusion.
So, yeah, that's the issue, because when they go to these counselors and they have an eating disorder or they have anxiety, they have depression, they have all kinds of other psychological issues, and it could be somewhere on the autism spectrum. It could be a whole host of things.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when they come in? They're dissatisfied about something. They've got some kind of stressor that's
There's
going on in
issue.
Their life.
Yep.
They have a real issue that needs to be dealt with. Well, what happens is many of these counselors, they fast-track them to puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, and eventually to mutilating surgeries, amputating healthy body
Not
parts.
The Christian counselors, but others.
Right. Yeah. But they'll say, well, you know what? The reason why you're unhappy, the reason why you have an eating disorder, whatever it is because you're born in the wrong body. You're really not a boy. You ought to experiment with being a girl or being nothing or being a combination of whatever. But if you do that, then you're going to be happy. Find out who you really are as your real self. And so these kids and the parents, like Chloe Cole's parents, they were told, well, you can have a dead daughter or a live son. So
that's
if you don't affirm your daughter as a boy and go through puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and then amputate her breast, then what's going to happen is she's going to die. And you're going to have a dead daughter. But if you want to have a live son, then this is what you have to go through. So the parents, they don't know anymore. They don't know any more than this. And they think, and the children think, I've got issues and I need them resolved. And so if this will resolve it, then fine.
Right. And those that are pushing this agenda are making a lot of money off of it. And the parents, they're just trying to help their child. They don't know better, you know, unless they really do homework. But it's a big money maker.
So the child was taken, I believe, around age 16.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time it reached to the United States Supreme Court, the child is now an adult, age 18. We don't know why the Supreme Court refused to take the case, because they never tell you. But there are very few cases the Supreme Court does take. Number one, it has to have a federal statute. There's no federal statute here because it's a state issue. So that's not part of the case. The other possibility is that it has to include some kind of constitutional issues.
Right.
Free exercise of religion, parental rights. It's kind of a vague concept. It's not technically part of the Constitution because that's more of a state issue.
What about conflict in courts, lower courts?
Well, but not unless there's a federal question. You have to have a federal question. You have to have a federal constitutional issue or a federal question. Just because one state court is having a difference of opinion to another state court on a domestic law case, on a marriage case or custody case, that doesn't rise to the level of a federal conflict. But if they're construing a federal law or there's a federal constitutional issue involved, then yes. So in this particular case, the Attorney General stated that he is very favorable to parental rights and also to religious freedom and is very supportive. But he said in this case, there was some other issues going on, and that is the eating disorder, and that the eating disorder wasn't being addressed. And that this case also involved an adult, so the case is moot. So you can't unring the bell. And this happens sometimes with, for example, graduation prayer cases. A senior is censored at graduation and you file suit because of free speech violations. And by the time it gets to the high court, the senior's already graduated. They're now in their second year of college. Well, you can't unring the bell because giving a remedy to that person doesn't change anything, because you can't go back now and have the prayer again at graduation. The only time would be is if you had a damage claim that keeps the case alive. And here, likely there was no damage claim because it was involving the state, and the state would be likely immune from damage claims. So it could be that it's moot. It could be that there's other facts in here. The problem, however, is not with the Supreme Court not taking the case, because there's a lot of reasons why they wouldn't take this particular case. The problem is what is happening in these states. And so Indiana, like other states, needs to have laws that protect parents' religious freedom, particularly in this area, because this issue of the kids wanting to be identified as a different gender than their birth sex is becoming more popular, if you will, or prominent. And parents are colliding with that issue, both under their parental rights in general and religious freedom rights in particular. And there needs to be state laws, and there are some state laws coming into effect now, that will protect the individual parents' right to make decisions respecting their kids over their identity. And that should happen here in Indiana. And I think that these parents, as sad as it is for them, as tragic as it is, and they'll never be able to unring that bell, But they also have indicated that they will use this case to continue to advocate for change. And I hope in Indiana, but also in other states, there's going to be that change. I know Florida is moving in that direction, as well as other states, to protect the rights of parents. This is a very critical issue. And it's also an issue that we deal with, Holly, with regards to Christian counselors, where these laws try to prevent Christian counselors from counseling people, literally to set these people free from these issues that plague them. For more information, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/helpkids. That's lc.org/helpkids.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.